So whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. For boldness has a genius and magic and power to it.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I feel so just abundantly grateful to be traveling through Europe. And right now I am in Dublin, Ireland, sitting in the Bank of Ireland's workbench, collaborative workspace for tech enthusiasts and entrepreneurs. It's just so wonderful to be here. Definitely check out bankofireland.com. It just reminds me of like other places around the world where like big institutions are supportive of the local tech and startup communities. And I have the privilege to be sitting here with Lisa from a company called Food Marble. So Lisa, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about Food Marble.
Cool. Food Marble is a startup based in Dublin, and we've developed the world's first personal digestive tracker. So we've developed a device basically to help people figure out what foods are kind of best suit their unique digestive system.
It's such a huge problem worldwide. I mean, this is really exciting, and I can't wait to get into it. When were you guys created?
So we started up, I guess the idea for Food Marble came about maybe 2.5 years ago, and we started working on it properly probably for the last 2 years. My background is I'm an engineer originally, so I studied here in Dublin. I did electrical engineering and then went on to do my PhD in electrical engineering. And while I was studying, towards the end of my PhD, I got talking to a good friend in my research group in UCD, and he came up with the idea initially of trying to find a solution for people who have regular digestive problems. So there's a lot of people suffer from things like maybe irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, which is a hugely common condition. Like 1 in 8 people worldwide have this. And they know they have it, but it can be very difficult to actually do anything about it. Like, because there isn't medications, it can be kind of hit and miss as to whether they work.
Totally.
And you're really only kind of treating the symptoms as opposed to the underlying 100%. Problem. So being, I suppose, engineering researchers at the time, we looked quite a lot at, we've looked at a lot of research that has gone into the whole area of digestive difficulties and what causes them and how you can best treat them.
I mean, this is really exciting. I mean, you guys won't know this because nobody really knows except maybe my family, but I get severe sharp pains most of the time that I eat when I eat certain foods. And so even being here in Ireland, I have to remind myself, okay, like make sure to stick to seafood, you know, or whatever it is. And there's just certain trigger points for me. And so, and I've never gone to a doctor about it. I've never like gotten clinically tested. It's just kind of obvious. Like I have a stomach ache with one thing and I feel like nothing with something else like seafood. So I'm really excited about your product because it would be nice to know what my triggers are.
Yes.
Because to find out by literally like clamping up like in pain is like the worst way to be like, so maybe I shouldn't be eating that.
You know? A little bit late at that point.
Yeah.
And that's a really, that's a really good word that you've used there, that the idea of finding your triggers. And that's really what we're about in Food Marble. So a lot of research has got, so this area of digestive health is really exploding at the moment. So it's hugely interesting and there's a lot of new research happening in it. Some of the recent research that has happened has found that the best way of managing a lot of these kind of digestive problems is actually through diet and figuring out, 100%. As you said, what foods are your triggers.
So I mean, do you have an idea? Like I purposely didn't eat today until my interviews are done, in case whatever I eat, I get a stomachache.
Exactly.
Like, that's how much this affects my life. I'm like, I better just not eat because then I know I'm fine.
Yeah.
So to have your app and to, like, know, oh, no, you could have a sensible breakfast and be fine. Like, it's a life changer.
Exactly. And that, so the reality is that, I suppose, food and diet, yes, it's annoying to have to figure out what foods you can eat or to restrict your diet. But the reality is it stretches way beyond that, because experiencing symptoms like pain that you've experienced, or other symptoms that people have, and this is, you know, they're experiencing these maybe every day, that has a huge impact on your quality of life and on what you can do and what things you go, social events you go to and what social events
100%,
you don't go to.
Yeah.
So that's really, we're passionate.
Unfortunately, I understand.
I know.
I wish I didn't. I wish I had no sympathy or empathy for what you're talking about.
Well, hopefully we can help you. So basically what we found, the research out, there's, as I said, a lot of research in this area. Some of the best and kind of cutting edge research in this area has shown that by cutting out certain foods that ferment in your gut, so foods that you don't absorb properly in your small intestine,
right,
by cutting those out, that you can actually avoid a lot of these symptoms. And a lot of this research was done, but in order to actually figure out what foods cause those problems,
right,
what foods cause that fermentation, which is essentially a buildup of gas in your gut, There's a technology that's used in a lot of these clinical trials, and indeed in a lot of hospitals and gastroenterology departments, called breath testing or breath analysis.
Right.
So what's happening is, if you eat something that's not properly absorbed in your small intestine,
right,
it passes into your large intestine, where it ferments into gas because all the bacteria start eating up that food instead.
Right.
Some of that gas that's developed there, that can cause problems like the pain that you spoke about. But also some of that goes into your bloodstream, dissolves into your bloodstream, gets exchanged in your lungs,
crazy,
and you end up actually breathing it out in your breath.
Really?
So a certain amount of that gas ends up being exhaled. Just as you go about your daily routine, you're just exhaling some of that gas.
And
by measuring the gas composition of a person's breath after they've eaten certain foods, without them getting to the stage where they're in pain from that food, you can actually figure out, well, that food is actually causing a bit more fermentation than another food. Therefore, you know, a lot of that food is actually causing some problems. So what we've done with AIR is we've actually developed a handheld little pocket-sized device of one of these breath analysis devices. So rather than, I suppose it's making the technology has always been there. Well, it's not always been there, but it's been there since for the last 20 years or so. But it's not very accessible, it's not very affordable to people, so they have to go to the hospital, they have to book in there for half a day and do these tests.
Right.
So we've basically made a small handheld pocket-sized device that people can breathe into, so they can do the tests in the comfort of their own home.
Does it have to be connected to your phone?
So it's wirelessly connected, so we've got a Bluetooth connection, so we've got an app as well that allows people, that helps people first of all interpret their own breath reading, so they can, the app will interpret the gas composition of their breath and basically help them figure out how they responded to those different foods.
Can it be connected to a computer or an Android, an iPhone, or is it just...
So we have both an Android and an iOS app. So that's they're the two channels that we're looking
Very
at. So
cool.
both are catered for. We're at the stage now that we're looking to begin hiring, particularly in developers. So that's kind of, we're at the stage of looking to hire to build out the app. We've the device built, we've prototypes built, we're looking to go for the bring the first batch to manufacture now this year. It's 2017. We've got a pre-order campaign currently running for that. So on foodmarble.com, people are actually pre-ordering their AIR device so that they can be some of the first in the world to receive it when it's shipped in August 2017.
And have you raised money?
Yes, yeah, so we initially, so I guess we only incorporated the company just over a year ago. So we initially got funding through SOSV.
Tell us what that is.
So that's Sean O'Sullivan is a VC investor who their headquarters is based in Cork here in Ireland, but Sean is actually American himself. I think he's from New York. He's over there at the moment. But they basically SOSV are known as the accelerator VC. So they invest in companies at a very early stage who they see potential in, and they try to bring them along and help them develop as much as possible at those early stages. So we were incredibly lucky to be selected by SOSV for their HACS program. So HACS is H-A-X, and it's an accelerator program that's based over in Shenzhen in China. So it's the largest hardware accelerator in the world, and it's basically SOSV collect, I think it was 15 teams from around the world,
right,
who are developing some piece of hardware. So we have our breath analysis device for helping people figure out what foods are compatible with them. There were people from all, there was a table tennis robot that you could play table tennis with. There was lots of a wide range of different products that were being developed. So we were brought over to Shenzhen in China, the team, for 4 months. And we basically developed the product there. So you're in the mix, you're in the center of the manufacturing hub, I guess.
Isn't Shenzhen that city that wants to, tell me, the city that wants to be like the most advanced city, like
that could be the case. I'm actually not sure. Really,
I think there's a whole documentary about that city.
Yeah.
It wants to be technology, blah blah blah. You know what I mean? Advanced, where like, I can't remember. Yeah. I want to find the documentary. Yeah. It was such a great thing.
It's where it's essentially in Shenzhen, an awful lot of consumer products that we buy or that we use every day. There's a good chance that they were made in Shenzhen. It's a colossal kind of manufacturing city.
How long were you there for?
So the team were over there for 4 months.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I wasn't there for the full 4 months myself, but the guys were. So it is a long time. You learn an awful lot. I mean, it's kind of like when you're trying to develop a device or you're trying to develop a product, that's difficult. You know, you need components, you need expertise, you need to be in the right environment. And that really was the makings of us in a lot of ways. Yeah. So things that could take us a month to do if we were doing it here in Dublin, or even if we were in the US, you could get done in a week in Shenzhen, because all of the equipment was there. Everything is built, everything is set up for developing products. So that was an incredible experience for us. We got a lot of mentoring and help through the program, both on the business side and on the electronic side and on the design side of things. So that was really a great experience. And it all ended then when we had a demo day in San Francisco, where we launched Air. And so that was great. And we had a great reception from people. So it was very exciting. And
what are some tips you have on giving a demo and presenting? It's a really big deal and extremely difficult to do.
Sure. And it's also really important, I guess, because
highly important.
That's your moment to explain what you're doing. It's your one chance to set up your window for people to understand what you're doing.
Let's take it from the top. What is a demo day?
So a demo day for HACS, for the accelerator, the demo day was basically where the 15 startups that they had brought through the program were invited to come and show their wares, I suppose. So we had a stall, and we presented to, there was a full warehouse type building they had taken over, and the HACS had invited investors, they invited media, and all sorts of people in between. And basically we got to show people what we had developed and demonstrate what we had done over the last 4 months. So we explained the product and showed the product and allowed people to give it a go, and got people's feedback. And feedback is a huge part at an early stage for people developing a product or developing an idea. It's great to have your own thoughts and to develop those, but it's huge. It's an iterative process, and it's hugely important to get that feedback from people. So we were very fortunate to get an awful lot of positive feedback, but it's great to touch base with people and at an event like that and get a sense of, get people's advice and get other input.
And what were some of the things you did to train for demo day?
We did a lot of dry runs, I suppose. So there was...
But you yourself, like, how did you develop your speaking skills?
Well, I wasn't actually speaking on demo day, okay. Angus, so there was only one of us needed to speak at right. demo day. I wasn't giving the presentation. I was speaking when people came to the to our booth. But I guess one thing that Angus did, and one thing that I would always do when I'm giving a presentation, is to think through really the core messages or the core messages that you want people to leave with. If you only have 5 minutes with people, you don't want to cram everything in. You don't want to try to cram everything in because you risk diluting the important stuff. So really distilling down what the key messages are and a lot of practice. And also trying to maintain that level of passion and that enthusiasm, because there's a risk that when you practice something so much and you become so familiar with the material that you're talking about, and we're talking about digestive health and the microbiome, right. and we know this stuff very well and we're talking about it every single day, but it's really important that you realize that for these people, for this 200 people in front of you, it's the very first time that they're hearing it, and so maintaining that passion and that enthusiasm for them is extremely important.
What kind of mentality would you say that you've had that you could offer to others in how to achieve your dreams?
There's a quote that I can't actually remember who I can attribute it to, but it's whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. For what is it? Boldness has a genius and magic and power to it.
But say it again.
So whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. For boldness has a genius and magic and power to it. So that idea of
boldness has a genius, power, and magic to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something like that. I could have the words but I'm sure lots of people will be able to Google it and get the correct quote. But yeah, it's that idea of not waiting until you have everything perfect and everything is set up to execute your vision exactly as you see it, because the chances are that day will never come.
Right.
And you could be waiting a very long time.
You have to let go of perfection.
Exactly. But continue to strive for it. And certainly that's what we're, I suppose, the quality of our device and quality of air and the product is hugely important to us.
Right.
We want it to, it's the world's first personal digestive tracker. I'm sure there will be others, but we want it to be the best personal digestive tracker, and that's very important to us. But the reality is, to get started, so over 2 years ago when we were starting this, we weren't anywhere close to where we're at now, but we did start, and we started building a device, and it was an electronics board inside a cardboard box, but it worked, and it was enough for us to show it to investors and for them to see the potential of a device like this and how it could help people figure out what foods were best suited for them. And so that was enough for us to get to the next step, which was then to get onto the Hacks program.
Totally.
Which then, you know, there was a whole spiral then of the device now is at consumer ready level, and you know, we're ready to ship next year.
So exciting. Thank you so much
for hanging out
and being a part of the Women in Tech podcast. Are there any final kind of pieces of words of inspiration, motivation? One thing I usually ask, and maybe I won't let you go until you have this one too, is what is one way you overcome challenges?
Ultimately, with the passage of time, everyone overcomes challenges. I don't think there's anything special about, like, ultimately, if you just continue going forward, and as no matter how messy an experience that is, just keep putting one foot in front of the other, you ultimately do. The risk, I think, or where people sometimes don't achieve that, is where they shy away from the challenge or they don't do something because there is a challenge there, or because they're afraid of facing that challenge. Most challenges are not as scary as they seem from far away if you actually just power on towards them. So I don't know that there's anything, surrounding yourself with good people, kind people, and people who you talk to and talk out your thoughts or any worries that you have, and who'll put their shoulder to the wheel and help you through that. So in Food Marble, we're blessed with a great team. But I think that's just doing it and just trusting in yourself and thinking about, well, what's the worst that can happen? And often nothing terrible is going to happen. Totally. So just keep going. That would be my advice.
I love it. How can people connect with you?
So we've got our website is foodmarvel.com. If people would like to get in touch with me personally, lisa@foodmarvel.com will get me. Food Marvel are also on Facebook and Twitter. And I think our pre-orders are open until the end of January. So if anyone is interested,
incredible.
They can get in touch on the website.
Incredible. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. I just love meeting innovators like Lisa. This has just been so cool. If you want to connect with more incredible innovators, go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. It just takes you directly to the Facebook group, so you don't have to search for it. That's womenintechvip.com. And as you know, I'm Esprit Devora, and you can find me at Esprit Devora on Twitter or at Women in Tech Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks so much, Esprit.
I love it. All right, bye, guys.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.